Well, once again, welcome back, everyone. Paul Harmon here. It's been a beautiful Sunday already. Thank you for participating in the worship. It's time to get into the Word. Boy, it's a beautiful thing about believers. We just love to talk or to praise the name of the Lord Jesus, and we love to share and see what God has for us in His Word. So let's get right into it, because as you know, we're right in our little mini-series entitled No Person is an Island. So this is part two, but let's go ahead and begin right now. Father, we thank you. We open our hearts to you today to hear you speak a word that is applicable to our lives, especially in our relationship to you and with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad we get a chance to be together once again. Thank you. So many of you have been giving me feedback from last Sunday's message. No person is an island. We've been taking a look at that. I want to address some things this morning. Ainsley and I, we were in North Carolina at the Billy Graham Conference Center a while back. We had a great time right there, a place called The Cove for pastors. I heard a Baptist preacher get up, and we were all tired and fatigued, and he literally just said this randomly. He said, well, listen, I'm going to tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told all of her husbands, and that is, I'm not going to keep you long. Well, we're going to take a look at some things, and I hope what we get a chance to see, especially with the title, the subtitle of today's message, Friends with Godly Benefits. Friends with Godly Benefits. We want to take a look at that element as God told us in His Word, when he said so clearly, it's not good, and that was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it's not good that man should be alone. And it wasn't just the aspect of just procreation, it was even in community. God is all about community, remember that? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God himself is in community. It's important for us to be in community. And the whole beautiful element I just want to address, not only in the marriage relationship, but just the unique dynamics of a male-female relationship. Most would call it dating. Some would call it courting. That's kind of coming back, that title. If you were raised in the 50s, that title was called going steady. So whatever you would call it, we would say, okay, dating. Does the Bible say anything about dating? It really doesn't. But there are some principles we can really gather and say, wow, that's going to help us in our relationship to all people. Remember, God's desire is to get us off that island and get in community with people. But how about we start to take a look at just interacting with the opposite sex, with the aspect of dating, maybe even leading to marriage? Because I'm having some people ask me, Pastor Paul, can you give me some tips on what should I look like or look for, both myself or look for in another person, when the prospects of marriage starts to come into focus? Well, let's trust the Lord for that, shall we? Because we're finding there are so many people that are taking their cues from media or from Hollywood. And Britney Spears, she once said, I don't understand all this dating thing going on. We can realize that if their adults are not understanding, they're going to play out or live out things that we know are not healthy for individuals. The Bachelor, some view it like a game, like The Bachelor that's on television. One of the aspects of the perfect date, they say, is where you have a chef that's helping, you have a lot of wine, a good fire, and maybe get lucky. That's not a good thing. And sometimes that kind of mentality starts to focus in on the Christian community because we're not quite sure where to land. Statistically, on dating in America, 54% of Americans, there's 54 million, really, single adults in America. There right now is 50% of those singles have really tried online dating. We have the area of 53% of those who are dating have dated more than one simultaneously. It's statistically as well, those who are dating, they find that after the sixth to the eighth time that they've gone on a date, that all of a sudden they enter into an exclusive relationship. The area as well, too, and dealing with after the 12th or the 14th, statistically, People are exchanging house keys. Is there anything we can find in Scripture about dating? Well, I found a passage, and it's in right there in Matthew 22. Can you get your Bibles open? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to verse 40. It's important for us to take a look at this because we want to look at a principle, a few principles, especially in dealing with our relationships to people. Because with that, is there a better way to go at the elements of dating? I hope today's comments will be encouraging and enlightening to you. But let's see what God has to say. Jesus said to them, I'm in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So when we look here, there's some important areas we want to address because I always desire to seek God's highest good for me personally, and you want to be in any relationship where you know, both in just friendships, that person that is aligned with you in community, they want God's best for you. So great benefits are available for godly friendships, and we want to look and enjoy that. Let's take a look at our first point. Be a God digger, not a gold digger. In letter A, we're looking at that foundation of relationships, adoption for, really, it really is that, the adoration for God in any relationships. That you are wanting to align yourself, say, I'm going to get back into just community and enjoying life with others. But how about even dating? Well, you want to make sure, is that person or people that you're with, do they love the Lord? That's where verse 37, 38, Jesus says, man, love the Lord your God with everything that you have. And if you are going for a relationship with somebody, would you consider making that area the foundation of your relationship? Do they adore the Lord God like you do? They love God like you. You want the same values. Have the area in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Would you consider writing that down? And make sure you take a look at that. Check it out with me. It's a lengthy portion of Scripture. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?" The Word of God says. "And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore," Scripture says, "come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord." Let's take a look here, because right there in verse 14, "do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Boy, that is very clear. We're talking about adoring the Lord and loving God with everything you have. Wouldn't it be great to have the same core values that you have, the same with the other person? You build your whole life around putting Christ first, seeking the kingdom of God first. Can you imagine trying to go into a relationship or even a working contract with somebody and you're dealing with two different value systems? It's kind of like if I were to take my blueprint, my design, my desire is to build a new house, and it's going to be a 1056, 1,000 square feet, basically, 56 square feet of house. And then the person I want to marry one day, that person has a 20 complex condo unit they're wanting to build. We're going to have a difficult time putting things together. What accord, what agreement would those two have in common? So you really want to make sure, don't we, that we have the same value system, especially when it comes to Jesus. Boy, I found the richness of my life is in relationship with people with like-minded heart and desire for Almighty God. Be that as your standard. I do find, isn't it worth noting, sometimes people love the Lord with everything, but we see that hot guy over there, or that hot woman, we start to just slowly, ever so slightly, start to minimize our standard of excellence, because that standard starts to slowly dissipate. Oh, when we see that happen, and I'm sure if that's ever happened to anybody that you know, it just breaks our hearts. Like, how is it that I've plummeted from my point of excellence in relationship to the Lord? All of a sudden, it isn't happening anymore. Nobody starts off in a relationship wanting an STD. Nobody wants to start in a relationship saying, man, I lost all my money trying to impress somebody. Those areas are so disheartening when that happens. Society says there's two things that people are wanting in a relationship, and that's sexual activity, and the other is money. It's worth noting, I find, that women who post photos on dating sites receive twice as many email responses as those that don't. Men who post on those dating sites that they earn up or over $250,000 receive 156% email increase than those that say they really make about $50,000. So you can see it's really not sexual intimacy that we want. We want spiritual intimacy. In dealing with relationships, if you are one that says, what should I look for? Who and how should I enter into this relationship with somebody? So it's not monetary value either. Let's make sure it's moral value that we're dealing with. How many remember when I talk about that element called kitty cat love? That's something that I remember one day making a house call, and I stepped into the foyer of the home, and right away their pet cat came up and started just rubbing its body next to my ankles. And the owner of the cat said, oh, Pastor Paul, my cat just loves you. I said, loves me? We just met. How could this cat love me? Well, what that cat was doing was loving itself on my leg. Ooh, oh man, kitty cat love. And you know, sometimes that's the kind of relationship that we say, oh, we love God, but something turns, or that person's only saying that so that they could become intimate and love itself or their self on you. Don't let that happen. Be careful about that, especially ladies. Watch out. When a man says, oh, I love you, what they should say, if it's really that kitty cat love, I lust you. But don't lower your standards. Don't lower your. That's why God's word says, man, don't be unequally in covenant or in agreement or yoked together with unbelievers. Be careful about that. If you're going to go all in for Jesus, watch out, because the unbeliever or the nominal believer could lower or reduce your standard, and you realize waking up one day, how did I get to this point in my life? I do like the area of courting. I have another question that people have posed to me. Pastor Paul, what does courting mean? All we know is dating. I'm dating this person, or we are in a relationship with this person. Well, I do remember my son-in-law, Mike, and my other son-in-law, David. Both of them came to me and said, hey, Paul, do we have your permission to date your daughter? Man, that really impressed me. And I would just say, men, that's the way it should be. You get a chance. And if the father of that lady that you're wanting to date, it really is the man's responsibility, go to the mother of that young lady and say, may I have the permission to date your daughter? Wow, if there's any form of relationship that's going to happen, you really want to be able to enjoy proper respect for those parents of the individual. That's fantastic. In the old days, and I think it's still appropriate, if somebody asked the parent, may I date your daughter, then that parent was supposed to go over to the girl and say, listen, this guy Mitch wants to date you. And then the girl says, ooh, no way, stinky. Or, yes, I'll give it a try. And then the girl comes and they go on a couple of dates. We could say that that's kind of an area of courting to see whether or not they're going to pursue marriage. they should know right away something's there or not. And if it's a go, then they go into engagement. That's what courtship's all about. You just kind of date for a little bit to see if that person is right for you. Wouldn't that be great if we still did something like that? Usually what happens, things turn a little bit intimate, too much so, kind of like this tiny marriage, because start to have living arrangements. We want to be careful about that. That person that you or I could be attracted to intimately, man, be careful if you are ever not going to pursue that person for marriage, because that's somebody else's wife. That's somebody else's future husband kind of an idea. So watch out, be careful. Here's some guidelines for dating I just want to throw out there, and I think this would be helpful for you. Letter B, if you take a look at that. Letter A, point A should be, shouldn't date unless they are marriage material. Just consider that, would you? Another one, B, to date without the possibility of marriage is the setup for falling into sin. It's usually what happens with our junior hires, with our high schoolers. They're not anywhere close to getting married, but they just think that that's what dating it would involve. Be careful. Also, point C, we shouldn't date unless marriage is in sight. And then point D, whoever you date should be a believer who has evidence of God's work in their life and who adores God. And that's our point, adoring God. So let's take a look at point number two. Love is not finding the right person. Love is being the right person. And I like the fact, once again, about loving God and loving others as yourself. That's important when we think about this. Can you imagine all of a sudden we think that all of our problems would be solved if I just found the right person? Everything would be settled if I just found that right man in my life. Well, ladies, I'm sorry, he's already been taken. But there's sometimes people think that way. They think that if I just find the right person. But our point is that love, true love, is not really finding the right person. True love is really being the right person that the individual you will meet will say, whoa, what a gift they are to me. See, can you imagine if all of a sudden if the roles were reversed and you had to marry you? Would that be a blessing to you? I mean, think about that. With the way that you or others might have certain thoughts, perverted thoughts, maybe your little idiosyncrasies, the little quirks that you might have, with the way that you have just hang-ups and certain problematic hygiene. I mean, just think about that. Do you have what it takes to marry you? Probably not. It really is something we need to really consider. I mean, come on. Do you have what it takes to marry you? I mean, do you have the pizzazz? Do you have the security? Do you have the attitude, the aptitude to marry you? So you can imagine when people think, well, I just need to find the right one. I'm set. Well, true love is being the right person, not trying to find the right person. Before you get married, we're dealing with that element of dating, with the prospects of marriage. Before you get married, you want to sit down with that person, that prospect, and just ask them a couple of questions. Here it is, letter A on your notes. Ask your fiancé. That's what it's all. Maybe you're thinking about marriage, but here it is. Point A, how much are you willing to change? That's important. Boy, there's been so many. We just want to get married, then we'll work on changing. Oh, ask them now. How much are you willing to change? Point B, how much are you willing to give to make this relationship the best? You might say, well, I don't want to tell. That's kind of rude and forceful. Man, ask them. Ask them. If it's 50%, is it 60%? Are they willing to change or participate 90%? Write it down. I would encourage you, write it down. Put it on a card. Laminate it. Put it in your wallet or put it in your purse, because I'm telling you, say, hey, before we even started on this journey together, you said you were all in to want to change. That's important. Some people don't want to change. Man, we change our clothes. We change our automobiles. We change our location where we live. But man, sometimes we even change our spouses, but people don't want to change. And that's important to come to that conclusion. People don't want to change. They reflect their irritations on somebody else. See if you can find that out. If you're dating somebody with the prospects of marriage, that's very important. How many know I talk about dog poop versus pig poop? They're both principles, and let me just tell you how that is so that you remember, because there was a time when I was a much younger man, I remember my mom and dad taking me to my cousin Pat's pig farm in Indianapolis, Indiana. 450-acre pig farm. I'm telling you, there's a lot of livestock there, and pigs stink. But it was sure fun seeing the farm. And it was great going into the barns and seeing the piglets. But ooh-wee, did that stink. And you know, I discovered stink sticks to you. And at that time, I had long hair. I had something that's called a mullet. don't offend the mullet. Respect the mullet. But I found that when I was called into dinner one evening, that when I went to wash up, even change my clothes, I did not wash my hair. And man, stink was stuck to the back of my hair. And it was funny because I'm now in the farmhouse and I'm thinking, man, somebody stinks here. Who stinks? And I turned my head. It's like, no, somebody's behind me and they stink. That's the pig poo principle, where all of a sudden you realize, man, it's not me, but it is. It's not me. Somebody else stinks here. And then there's the dog poo principle. What do I mean by that? Well, have you ever noticed how dog poo has a unique aroma? Ainsley and I were at a Little League baseball game. We were right there in the bleachers, and it was the most enjoyable aspect of that. We were checking things out, recognizing a couple of things. All of a sudden, we noticed that this fresh laydown of dog poo aroma was wafting through the bleachers. There's just a little handful of about 16 adults, but every person that walked by the front of the bleachers, you could see, and they'd lean up against the batting cage and they'd check their self to see if they stepped on the dog dropping. Oh man. But everybody started to look, saying, is it me? Was it me? See, that's the dog poo principle. You start to smell something like that, you check yourself, as opposed to the pig poo principle, like, hey, somebody else around here stinks. But the dog poo principle, you know how it is when you call the kids, hey, everybody, let's get into the car. And then the aroma of dog poop comes. Oh, wait, hey, stop. Everybody, check yourself. That's the principle. When you recognize that, you start stepping in there and saying, man, I just need to find the right person and all my life would be set. But really, true love is we want to be the right person. We want to be all that we can for somebody else in our lives. Be careful about that. Let's not blame our life's woes on somebody else. If they do that to you, say, ah, hey, Pastor Paul, he told us about this. You're dealing with me on the pig poo principle. You're trying to blame stinkiness in your life on me. No. Let's be the best we can. I remember our first house when we bought in Banning. It was interesting because, boy, it was a fixer-upper. It needed a lot of tender, loving care. We got it at a low price, and it was on the market for a long time, about almost 2 years. And you can imagine there are a lot of people that were not interested in putting the sweat equity into that house. But I was. I was willing. So was Ainsley, my wife. You can imagine. See, that's the same sometimes with ourselves or with our marriage. This may take some work. Are you willing? Take that out. How much are you willing to change? How much are you willing to commit to this relationship? Make sure you know that before you are in agreement with that person that you're dating, before you get into even that area of as a fiancé with that person. Let's deal with number 3. True love begins after the wedding, not before. True love. And that's interesting because love, as we see, and look with me now at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because remember, God was talking about love him with all and love your neighbor as you love yourself. On those two commands hang everything. And it's important when we look here what true love is. I think this is a beautiful definition of Jesus and his love for us. But it's in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Finally, because of love, love never fails. When we look here, it's pretty significant. Letter A on your notes. Takes time for a relationship to grow. Spend time together. We're trying to get people off of their island of isolation. That's important. Maybe I'm even talking to a few who have been hurt in their relationship, their marital relationships. So they put up the wall again. They've gone back to the island. True love begins long after the wedding, not before. People say, well, we got married because we loved each other, but man, it isn't happening anymore. How could that be? Because true love, it's interesting. See, love is not built on the sunny shores of the Orange County beaches. A lot of times people think, well, that's where it is. I'm going to find true love in the settings that are there. But we have to watch out because, see, love is not like catching the flu. You don't just say, oh, I'm in love. True love really takes a lot of time to develop and work through. True love is not happening during the courting area, during the dating area. See, that's usually where we put on our best display, isn't it, guys? That's where we kind of like wash our face, comb our hair. Ladies, isn't that where we kind of like apply the makeup and put on some of our best fineries? It's important, for sure. But then all of a sudden, we have to go through a few episodes and that those standards kind of drop a little bit. See, the acid test is really during life. True love really begins after the wedding. When I told my wife, Ainsley, we'll be married 39 years this June. 39 years. I thought I was really knowing what I was doing on June the 26th, 1982. I thought, man, I love this girl, and I'm going to commit my life, I thought. But after 39 years of just working through our individual quirkiness, remember I was sharing that when I was a bachelor, man, life was good. I didn't have to answer to anybody. I cleaned up my apartment the way I wanted. All of a sudden, I thought, I'm really kind of a good guy. I'm really kind of all put together until I got married, and I realized I'm not that good. Somebody was in my life telling me I need to alter a few dispositions of my attitude. It was when we went through those years of just dealing with bills and just maintaining our communications properly and sleepless nights with our babies and raising children. Man, there's a whole bunch of history now behind when I tell my wife, I love you. It means so much more, infinitely more than on the day we were married. That's why true love begins really after the wedding, not before. True love. Love never fails. I want to encourage you, find that person in your life. And if you're currently married and you feel like love isn't happening, man, the same God that, would you believe with me, could create the universes all over again, he can certainly create love back into your relationship with that individual. Trust God for that. Work in that area. There is a whole reservoir of experiences you have with that person in your life. And when you who are hoping to marry one day, boy, you plan that we're going to take life's journey and really, really enjoy it. That's why it's important. Man is not to be alone. We need people in our lives to help bring out these great qualities in our lives. Love doesn't happen on a cruise ship. It really is over time. Well, let me just bring up number four. Never give up on something that God has not given up on. Never give up. If you're in a relationship, you are married to that person as well. You just know God's brought you together. Oftentimes, I'll even ask individuals, what are your qualities that you're looking for in a person? And usually the number one is, I just want God to bring that person to my attention. The Lord says, this is the one. But you know, God gives us that free will. You can pick. You really can. We're just laying out some things you want to consider. That same balance of understanding and value that you have for God, hopefully they have as well. You'll see on our life group questions, there are things that you would want to consider, those eight foundation points. I would encourage you, check it out. Go on our website and see our notes that are laid out there if you're from a distance. They'll be there on our website. But let's take a look at Mark chapter 10. Jesus is addressing the fact about marriage here. The point again, never give up on something that God has not given up on. Pharisees, it says, verse 2 of chapter 10 of Mark. The Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife, testing him? And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. Jesus answered and said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. I believe God takes our vows very seriously. That's why you be serious if you are entering into the prospects of marriage. And you who are married, God takes those vows very seriously. Boy, it's important. I have never seen a poor, problematic marriage that they should have never been married. Never have. I've only seen people with problem hearts that don't want to change, but the marriage is great. I have only seen, I don't know if you've ever seen two individuals that got married and you say, that was a mistake. Ooh, they should have never gotten married. It's kind of like this Beauty and the Beast situation. I know of only one couple that would fit that quality and that category, and that is Jesus Christ. That's the bride, really, is the church. The groom, Jesus, and the bride, his church. If there's ever an issue or somebody that would say, man, I made a mistake on this one, it would be Jesus when he's talking about the church. The way we act and are so faithless and disloyal to the Lord. Our gross imagination of disobedience and disrespect. The cheating, thieving, conniving way even people deal with their relationship with God. If there's ever somebody that says, man, I should really end this relationship, it would be Jesus to us. But you know, the Lord comes along and says, I will never quit on you. I am with you to the end. Matthew 28:20. Isn't that great? I love that about Jesus. So therefore, I want to encourage you, never give up on something that God hasn't given up on. It's important for us. You stick with that spouse. You deal with those things and watch God do a miracle. Want to just highlight points that we were dealing with last time we were together and this touch on it. Letter A, remember that leave, cleave, and weave? And we're dealing with this in Mark chapter 10. Leaving means to reprioritize. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, cling to his wife. Start your own family situation. Boy, parents, let your children go. And son, daughter, cut the ties with the parents with regards to always making sure they're happy. Start working with your husband, with your new wife kind of a thing. That's so important for us. And then letter B, cleaving means permanent bond. When we do and exchange vows and officiate wedding ceremonies, and the man says, I will, and the woman says, I will, they're saying, I will continue to do what I need to do to make sure this marriage works out till death do us part. I will continue to do this for the future investment of our relationship, of our marriage. And then letter C, weaving. Keep strengthening the threads. Do what you need to do to work to maintain your relationship to become one. I like what the Lord says. As we rely upon Him, He really enables us to be the kind of person that not only our family needs us to be, not only, if you're married, our spouse needs us to be, but our heart's desires to really please the Lord God. And as we do, those around us are touched and influenced. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Well, right now, I want to take this occasion. I just note here in our reading where it says in Mark 10:5, that Jesus says, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses allowed this precept to be enacted. I find that that's still the situation today. Why there's divorce. People have hardened hearts and they will not change. They refuse to budge. Would you take a moment right now? If you are interested in looking for relationships with other people, boy, let's love the Lord and look for those people that love the Lord. If you're dealing with the aspect that one day I'm planning on getting married one day, then let's believe that God's going to turn and transform you, because He knows that that person you're going to marry, when they're out there one day, you can start praying, Lord, help that man, help that woman. Don't let them come to me as a basket case that I have to nurture them back to health. Start praying for that person. Though you may not know exactly who they are, they're out there, and pray God brings health and healing, wholeness to them. That's going to be fantastic. But I want to just take a moment right now and especially pray for our marriages. If you're married right now, or maybe your relationship in your marriage is strained, you know, the status of our marriage, that is really not the goal in life. Some people even think that divorce is the unpardonable sin. It is not. That is not. God's so kind and merciful. Be encouraged. I want to encourage you right now. Maybe you're there with your spouse. Would you just take their hand? Matter of fact, I want to encourage you, just stand to your feet, just right where you're at. If you're comfortable on the couch, just, would you just stand up? We're in the presence of the Lord right now, and I want to pray for you, for your marriage. Maybe your spouse isn't able to be with you right now. So would you just pretend to just hold your hand. Hold the hand of Jesus. He's right there with you. Hold His hand. Watch how God will put His hand upon your spouse. And He's not there, God will touch him and work in a marvelous way. Let's pray, and let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. We know this, the underlying truth is, You're the one that created marriage. You're the one that has designed how relationships with all people really does matter with regards to love. So Lord, if there are those right now that their hearts are broken because they do not feel that they are loved by their spouse or loved by anyone, and loneliness is creeping in, Lord, flood them now with Your love. Holy Spirit, come and allow the love of God to fill their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, where injury and harm has really severed or caused a conflict in the home, just relationships, not just with the man or the woman, but even with the children, disarray and discord, disunity and destructive thoughts and plans. Lord, we break that bind of the adversary, those things that are trying to dissolve the unity of the home. It stops today in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, You bring right thinking and right action. And Lord, let the most mature person in this relationship go and approach the other to reconcile. Say, I will do what is right to make this relationship work. Lord, for our singles who are just wonderfully, just all about you and love you and are looking for that same someone in their life to share the journey of a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for them. Keep them pure in your eyes. Keep them walking closely to you, giving first place to you above all else. And that, Lord, bring that right individual to them. And Lord, we want to thank you for the households and the families, even some of our single parents working so hard. They're both the father and the mother. Lord, bless those homes. Encourage and refresh. Lord, you be everything this hardworking parent is doing. And Lord, encourage them. Drive out loneliness. Bring in a sense of victory. Lord, you're the one our eyes look to, and we thank you for the miracle of this very moment. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for being with me during this whole message. And I'm grateful that God's going to do something wonderful for you. I will continue to be praying for you. And if you're on our website, would you take a look at the prayer request or praise report there? Send me a note, or would you go ahead and write to me, office@hopechapelhb.org. That is office@hopechapelhb.org. Pastor Paul, this is what I'm facing. Would you agree with me in prayer? We will. We're going to see some great things that are happening. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. It's a beautiful day because you're with us today. You made it happen, and you made the difference in Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.